Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Get ready for an on fire word. Let's put it right here. And I hope these things spell better for him than they do for me. They misspell a lot of words for me, so but maybe they do. But I want you to get ready. I want you to welcome Reverend Mike Duncan.
Reverend Roy. Come on, Charlie. Thank you. Go get them. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Don't mess up.
No. Well, man told me one time, if you don't mess up, you're not doing much. Then I said, well, I've learned over the years, if you can fix it, it's really not a mess up, you know? So that's a good deal. How about VBS? Yeah. I tell you, I want to encourage you, however it is, to get involved with the body, you know, whether it's with the kids or with the prison ministry, with something to get active with like-minded believers. Because look, just like I could have sat down this morning when I just sat and heard Pastor John, you know, I was like, man, I hit old David Bibler over there. I said, he's going ahead and doing what Lord's laid on my heart. It's just incredible when you start getting involved with the Spirit of God. I just put it that way. And the Spirit of God starts moving through the body of Christ. It is that Spirit of God that gives us the power. It is that Spirit of God that gives us the unction to function. It is that Spirit of God that leads us in the way. I think Jesus said over there, he said that, hey, I got so much more to tell you, but you can't get it all right now. You can't comprehend it. It would just absolutely explode you. I kind of paraphrased that a little bit. But that's what it feels like, though. When it starts moving on, you start getting involved, it's just building up, building up, building up. But he said, I'll guide you into all truth. The Spirit of truth, it will continue to guide you, mold you, and take you in a way. So VBS, man, the beauty of seeing a child give their... Whew. So that's sort of like what the word the Lord's really been laying on me. And I think it's really a consistent word that we're hearing through our leaders here and our pastor, because I believe this is the word that the Lord is really trying to get us to understand. And it's belief and the power that's in you believing. Everything is in the believing part. You have to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. That's it. And what that belief looks like, it's not saying, well, I just simply believe. I believe Jesus. I believe in Jesus, man. I had a guy one time tell me, I believe in Jesus with all my heart, man. Nobody can tell me I don't believe. I said, well, that's good. But brother, your actions are telling everything different. See, the belief. James said over there, he said, hey, you got faith. It's really the same lines right there. Oh, I got faith. Okay. Well, I got works. Works isn't something, you know, the work wasn't going down there building the set at VBS. There was a lot of work went in it. That's not the work. The work is the belief that this is going to hold some substance. This job that I'm doing right now, it's not about me putting my hands on this right here. The work was me believing that what I'm doing is doing unto the Lord. What I'm doing is what God told me to do. It's not about you saying, hey, here it is. Why did some of the people did not want to stand up? They don't want that recognition. Because, let's go ahead and go all the way to the end of the message. Okay. When did I do that? When did I feed you? When did I clothe you? When did I come see you while you're in prison, in bondage? When did I come do that, Lord? When? It's not here, right? It's not a cognizant thing that we do right here. It's in here. And it's in here because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He is who He is. I believe that that's my daddy. I believe that He has adopted me. I believe that He has taken me into His bosom. And I believe all I want to do is just sit there and hear that heartbeat like John. And during that time, I'm sitting in his lap as his big, strong arms wraps around me, his hands going forth and doing these things. Huh? But I'm just in the middle. So people can see me, but they really can't see. It's his hand that's doing these things. And so why do I want to stand up? Because, my goodness, it's him. It's him. Paul says, hey, it's not me that lives no longer, but it's Christ that lives in me. It's the Spirit of God. Man. So we're kind of coming off of John 1:12. You want to go ahead? Let's go ahead and just read it right quick. But let's go ahead and kind of get a little context. I got the whiteboard up here, and I'm not going to be trying to write too much words. I like to draw. I read by pictures. Some of you can understand me, or some of you maybe not. But if you're on my level, and I'm like the VBS level, I do good there. And, pictures is the way to go. Because number one, why? Because if I don't understand, or if I can't pick up what you're laying down, what good is it? I'm going to walk away just as dumbfounded as I was when I was first sitting here. I need it. I need to understand when I go. And that understanding is so deep because, hey, it needs to be deep because your belief can be right here. Just like my man said, I believe in Christ with all my heart, but yet I'm still doing these things that's going to take me back to prison. I'm not changing. Well, your understanding, that belief, that understanding deepens your depth of belief. Yes. Yes. And I was talking to a gentleman earlier today, this morning, that belief is me stepping out, right? Going. What? Not just going to do things, but going unto Him, as Pastor was talking about. Jesus first called us to say, hey, come unto me. Come unto me. Because that's where everything is at. That's where it's all at. So this is where we are now. So let's look at John 1 right quick. And we all know the first verse right there, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Okay? He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. My goodness. That's pretty deep right there. Not anything that was made that wasn't made by Him. Nothing. Not anything. So as it goes forth here, it goes on and says, in Him was what? My goodness. And that life was what? The light of men. Proverb over there talks about, I think it's in the 24th Proverb, it says that the wicked or the sinful people, the unrighteous people, the unjust people, depends on what kind of translation you're reading. But anyway, it says that, look, they go, but their way is dark. And they don't even know what makes them stumble. But it says, but the righteous man says the light gets brighter and brighter. Some say until the perfect day or to the noonday when the sun is just directly above us. It gets brighter and brighter. Why? So that we can see what makes us stumble. So that we can see and help other people understand what makes us, so that what we can remove those objects, right? And overcome those objects. The light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes or follows me will not walk in what? Darkness. But will receive and have what? The light of life. They'll have me, Jesus is saying. You'll have me to light the way. You'll have me to shine around everybody else. So he goes on, he says that that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Hallelujah. I used to have an understanding about the darkness and the light, and I think it's gotten a little deeper. Because I used to say that, hey, darkness has one option when light comes. To flee. But I was in darkness. And I did flee. But until one day. Whew, one glorious day. Do you remember, as that song said? Do you remember that day that you met him? My darkness became light. Because darkness is simply what? The absence of light. So now, darkness has two options. You can shout hallelujah right here. Because you can either flee or you can become light. That's what we want to be. We want to be the light of the world. As Jesus says, now you are the light of the world. You are that city on the hill. Why is it a city? Because it's more than just a one person standing there now. It's a group of people. It is Father's Vineyard. Hallelujah. We are that city on the hill here in Ruffton. Amen. We are shining bright for all to see. We are the ones that can go into a gated community that we are so blessed to have in our area that we can go shine a light in there. And I want to encourage every one of you. Look, it's not, maybe I'm not called to do that. I'm not doing this. But look, it's simply sitting in your daddy's lap and letting that love that he has and pours out on you to pour out on them. It's no different from getting right here in front of everybody here that has no chains or bondages. Okay. Some people are truthful. But it's no different from being over there than it is to be right here. It's the same, same. Same, same. We just got to make sure we carry ourselves in a more respectable manner. Because part of the sin is causing another brother to fall or sister, right? Some people say, you don't drink? No, I don't drink. Why? Well, because I know if I drink, I really can't handle it that much. I know one becomes another. Oh, the temptation don't come. It sure does. It does. You know, last night, man, we shoot weddings. Okay. If I can leave about 8 o'clock, we're good. After that, it's all downhill, buddy. The music starts getting a little crazier, and, you know, alcohol starts taking its toll. There's not many sober-minded folks running around anymore. And it's like, my goodness, thank you, Lord. But it's not thank you, Lord. I kind of feel like the Pharisee beating on my chest. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and I'm not like one of them anymore. But it's like, no, thank you, Lord, because you start feeling like the other guy that's like, I'm not worthy of this. You know, you've taken me from that. That's not who I am anymore. And so it's a good deal all the way around for us to see that and to say, look, I'm going to shine a light. I had a DJ come up to us. And he was wide open, younger guy. And he says, well, I lost my partner. I said, what do you mean lost your partner? He said, well, my wife. I said, oh, man, bro, I'm sorry to hear. No. She just had a baby. I said, oh, I can understand that part. I said, I'm about to lose mine for a little while. He says, is that y'all's first one? This was my first one. I said, no, that's not my first one. About number 6 right there, pal. He said, what? My goodness. I said, he said, what do you do for a living? Make babies. No. Hey, what did he say? Bringing up a generation, ain't it? My goodness, I'm doing my part. But my response in that deal is I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. And man, it was like he swallowed a canary. He went back around his little hut over there where the DJ booth was, and he didn't want to talk anymore about that, you know? But it's okay, you know? And was it an awkward kind of situation? But yeah. But if I'm really, if Jesus is the light of life and I'm following him, what am I doing for a living? Because outside of that, there is no life. There is no life. So let's go ahead and get on down through here. So he said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So how can we be the light? How can we be the light on the hill now, the light of the world? Well, see, there was no other person born greater than John, right? Up till the cross and the resurrection and the descension of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus went on to say there was no greater born at that time, greater than John. But the least of the ones of the kingdom of God is greater than that. That's where we fall in. There's another good hallelujah spot. Yeah. Don't wait for me to encourage you on that one. But he all goes on to say, he says, he wasn't a light, but he came to bear witness to the light. He said, the true light, which gives light to the world. Some say everyone, even the ones that we think that might not be able to comprehend it. But yet we see a man right there, a little man. Because he growed up a little bit. I received Christ. Now there's something for me to do. I bet no man told him really what he needed to do. But the unction, the function, the Holy Spirit come upon him. Because you know what? I believe it was a real sincere decision to follow Jesus. And when you want to believe that he is who he says he is, as we're about to get down here, let's go ahead and read it. Remind me where I was at right there. To Gavin. It said the light was coming to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But it says, all who did receive him and believe upon his name, he gave them the power to become the children of God. Yeah, that, amen, Jason. Give another one for that one. Hallelujah. So now we see Gavin. Nobody told him what he had to do. So there was the Spirit of God. So the belief in the name of Jesus, because that was spoken. And he says, I do. I believe. So the next step for him was do what? Man, I got to get baptized, because what I got to do is tell somebody. I got to tell somebody. I got to proclaim. This baptism is a way for me to proclaim that I have died with Christ and now live in Christ. And Christ lives through me and in him and through us all. So that light of the world comes unto us. Now here, that light of the world is going to be expressed. That flashlight doesn't do a bit of good while it's on, sitting in the closet or in a pocket. My little flashlight, you know, we got for Father's Day. It's burning in the closet now, probably. And my little shelf, and little girls go in there, they get that flashlight and be dancing around with it, lay it back in there. But you see, that's part of the kids, right? They might not even comprehend on a level of understanding that we have, but my goodness, it doesn't take but just a little bit of the power of God to move upon you. You can start comprehending things, because if you're trying to work this thing out and comprehend it all right here in a natural ability, the word says you'll never get it. It's not for you. You can't receive this. He says, hey, if they could be saved, they would have eyes to see, and then they would be saved. But he said, but they don't have eyes to see, therefore they can't. He said, then he goes on to say this good part. He says, but you But you have something that kings and other people desire to have. Eyes to see and ears to hear. They desire what you have. And we got to show it. We got to give it. But it's not about just going and doing all this stuff, because there's an agenda there if we don't really know who he is, if we don't come unto him. If you don't come unto him, you really don't know him. And then the word also says that this is eternal life, to know the one true God, Christ Jesus, which he sent. And Jesus said, now this is the works in John 6:29. This is the works, is to believe on who he has sent. My father-in-law, rest his soul right now in Jesus' name, he couldn't understand my ways. It just irked him. He said, look, man's got to eat. Oh, yeah, he's got to eat. If he don't work, he don't eat. That's what the Bible said. I said, yeah, but the Bible says also that this is the work, not to work for the food that perishes, the food that goes away, but work for the food that is imperishable. Work for the food that's everlasting. Work for that bread of life. Believe that he is who he says he is. Well, I ain't gonna fight you quoting the Bible and stuff and all that. Well, you brought it up, not me. You know? But that is the transition in which our mindset, that repentance, that metanoia, that we got to understand that we must change, be transformed by the renewing of the mind, not a carnal mind anymore, a spiritual mindset. The power. If I believe in Jesus, that he's going to give me that power to become his child. Now, when I'm that child, I'm going to tell you what, my little girls, they'll look at me like no one else looks at me. Oh, hallelujah. What a blessing that is. Huh? Whew. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Daddy is number one. You know, maybe second mama, but. But I like to think that I'm the best. Mama's pretty good too. But when they look at you, that's when you start understanding a heart of God. See, the made in his image. His image is vast. Oh, hallelujah. There's so many images of God, shapes, sizes, dimensions. And when we start getting tapped into that, he will show you certain things about who he is. And you are walking this thing out. We're walking this thing out and becoming the image of him and becoming what? David, like what? Had the heart of God? Well, see, that right there in its own, a heart after God, that right there in its own is vast. Yes. Come on. Yes. It is. It's deep. Yes, it is. That heart, ooh, it's bigger than this. There's so much in those chambers that pump life. And mine been running a little hard, so y'all pray for that. That thing, I don't know what it is, but I don't want to outrun them. I want to save some of them tickers. But our heart after God is when we start understanding things and more belief of who he is and who he says we are. Pastor John proposed a question this morning. Who knows you the best? Some says, well, I know myself the best. Really? Well, I've been with him all my life, Eddie said. You have. But do you really know who you are? There's only one way to really start understanding your identity, and that is through Christ. Once we start understanding who he is, start knowing him, then we start knowing us. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a lot better to know him than it is to know me. Because there's a lot of junk that I got to deal with. And got to get out. So that kind of leads me into this part right here. Why I got this up here. It's a little evangelical tool. You know, and it's simple. It really is. I've seen it work on McDonald's napkins. Boom. Really, I want that. Okay, let's do it. It's called the three circles. So right now, I'm going to put this circle up here. In this circle, what we're going to say is our world. It's what we're living in right now. What is one word that we could probably all come together on to say or describe the world we live in right now? There's a bunch of words, but, you know, of course, there's one word I really want. Chaos. Who? Fleshy.
Divided.
Divided's really close to a word, the word I'm kind of digging for. All right. If something is running correctly and then it stops running correctly, what happened? What was that word? I lied. I did spell one word. Broken. It's broken. VBS, man. This thing, let me tell you how we got to the whiteboard up here today right quick. When Pastor John was speaking last week, it hit me. Three circles, okay? VBS. We're talking about Adam. We're talking about the fall. We're talking about how now we, you know, in Christ, all three circles. Well, I'm driving down the road, and my wife calls me up or texts me, one of those communication lines we got now. She said, I was praying, and I seen you up on the stage with the whiteboard doing three circles. I said, okay. She said, well, take it however you want to. You do whatever you want to with it. You know, I didn't say, honey, that's a great idea. Yeah, I didn't say that. But I did let her know. I said, you know, it kind of hit me a couple times already. So what am I doing? I hope she sees me. You see me now, honey? Was this what it looked like? I had this shirt on? We're going to see how prophetic she is. Broken. But you see, it's okay to be broken. It's okay to be broken. See, that's where we like to stop at, right? Oh, man, broken. Jesus said, I am the stone that has been rejected. Anyone that falls upon me will be what? Broken. How can you get put back together if you already got it together? How can you be restored if you're already where you're supposed to be? But see, where the hope lies is in the first circle. Because if it was once broken, it had to be one time perfect. Right? It had to be functioning correctly to be broken. If it was still functioning correctly, it would not be broken. We'd still be going right on the path again. But there was a fall. There was a fall. That perfect whole world where the plants just grew up out of the ground and there was plenty of food. There was fellowship with God every morning. Or the cool of the day, all the time. I like to think the cool of the day is in the morning. Right when the sun starts cracking up. You know, I used to hate that time. I used to despise it. I used to start hearing them birds start chirping. I said, I wish they would just fall off a limb. But see, back then, that meant one thing, that I've done pulled an all-nighter. I done pulled an all-nighter. And it wasn't a good kind. You know, and I'm like, man, I wish they'd shut up. I've done it again. I don't need a reminder. You know, but now, ooh-wee. If I don't praise him, the rocks will. Even a bird knows to praise the Lord because here he comes. Hallelujah. It says in the beginning, it said, hey, it was void and full of darkness, but the Spirit of God hovered over it. And he said, let there be light. And there he comes, strolling through the park one day. Woo-wee. And I love it. I love it now. As that sun starts breaking up, we start seeing the light of day starting coming into our dark world. So that's how the Lord walked, and he come and had fellowship with him. Until what? What do we have right here? How did that happen? How did that happen? How did we get broke? Sin. Sin came. But what is sin? Disobedience. Look, you can call, you, if you want to carve this thing up and start putting labels on all this stuff, you're like the world. I'm just going to put it that way. There's one sin. Oh, no, there's multiple. No, I'm going to tell you, there's one. Because what did John say? Oh, the Lamb of God who comes and takes away the sins of the world or the sin of the world? Thank you. It is this. Help me here. I-E-N-C-E. Is that right? Disobedience. These things work good. So disobedience. Disobedience led to the fall of that wonderful, perfect fellowship, that wholeness, that Pastor John, that sozo, that to be made whole again. You know, but here we are in this broken place. Is there hope for us? Is there hope for us? You know, it hit me last week. Pastor was talking, you know, to discipleships and all these things. And I said, you know what? In those darkest, most desolate places come some of the most strongest, boldest disciples this earth have ever seen. Out of that darkness comes a bright, bright light. Amen. Yes. You know, if you've been there, you can probably shout another hallelujah there. And if you're going there, there's another time to do it. Because look, we don't know, but how do we get there? How do we get there? What was it all about? How was it? How was it? How do we get back? How do we get back to good? There's a song. I don't know. It kind of hits me. Let me get back to good. It's not a, I don't know, Matchbox 20 or something, maybe? Y'all don't know that one? Get it back to good. How do we get back to good? Believe. We got to believe. But what do we believe in? Do we believe in this other thing? Let me, man, I don't really have enough time. Believe. But what do we believe in? Acts 8 gives us a good example. Let's go real quick. I think I can pull this off. Let's go to Acts 8. Now, verse 4. So much, man. This word comes alive with the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, it's just a good book sitting over there. Some people won't even say that. But with the Spirit of God, it comes alive. Why? Because that belief and the power of the Spirit of God, it gives it the power to come alive. Right? Jesus was what? The Word. And he said that he had the Spirit without what? Measure. That's how it comes together. It's not far left. It's not far right. It's right down the middle, man. It's right exactly in the center of it all is Jesus. Acts 1:8 says, go. And they stay. 1:8, I'm going somewhere right quick. 1:8, it tells us what? Go. And they said, they all come together. And he does what? He said, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witness. And Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea, and all these things. But guess where they was all still at? A couple chapters over. They were still in Jerusalem. So you get the opposite of 1:8, you get 8:1. What happens? There was a man named Saul popped up. He starts bringing what? Persecution unto them. And guess what they started to do then? Scatter like a covey of quail. Yeah, we get to moving when the heat gets turned up, don't we? Unfortunately, that's kind of how we move a lot of times. Sometimes when things go bad is the only time we really cry out to our daddy. So, you know, Bush used to say, if you can't stand the heat, get out the kitchen. Well, you know, that's a good place to start cooking. Let's turn this thing around. So Philip takes off in verse 4. He said, in those days who were scattered, those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Verse 4, verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. Now let's jump on down. They started believing on him. They started believing in Peter. In Philip, because, man, signs and wonders started following him. Unclean spirits started getting slung out and all these things started happening. And they started believing on him. But they said, look, there's this guy over here named Simon too. They called him the sorcerer, the magician. They believed on him too. And they said he was doing all these things and working. Let's read right quick. And they said, look, and he said, but there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city of amazed people of Samaria, saying at the, like the speed reading, that he him all was somebody great. They all paid attention to him. From the least to the greatest, saying, this man is power. They thought it was God. Come on, what are you believing in, guys? And they paid attention to him because for a long time he amazed them with his magic. He wooed them. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news, he proclaimed the gospel about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were what? Baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, continued with Philip and seeing signs and great miracles, he was amazed. But as it goes on down, it said, now Peter and John heard about it, so they come on down. They wanted to get in on something. Somebody told them the fish was biting down in Samaria. Okay. I thought they were fishermen. Different type now, right? Hallelujah. Fish for men and hunt for souls is what I like to tell them. For he had not fallen. Hey, so he went down there and they seen it. So they baptized him and they believed and then they received. They laid hands on him and prayed. They received the power of the Holy Spirit come upon them. Hallelujah. Power. What? Power to become children of God. Not just say, I proclaim Jesus. Well, my goodness, like I just said about the other guy, I believe, but my goodness, he didn't have the power to follow Jesus. He didn't have the power to believe, have works, have fruit. So Simon said, oh, I see that, and I like that. He says, I got some money. I want to get what you got. I want to be able to go over here and do this over here so people can look at me. When did I do that? Oh, y'all know how the goats reacted to that part? Well, I didn't see you. I ain't know where you were. You didn't give me opportunity to do that. Oh, you didn't believe. So what happened? What were they preaching? How did they get here? What's here? What is that? Man, how simple is this? How simple is this? What about that cross? What's 1 Corinthians 1:18 say? Yeah, that's why. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, hey, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are going the way of a man, but to those who believe, it is the power of God. I'm going to tell you something right quick. Y'all can kick me out, run, whatever you want to do. But this is something on my heart. I'm going to release it right here. There's false teaching. There's false doctrines. All this stuff coming and going down the pipe. And when we are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm going to tell you right now. Jesus did not take your place on the cross. He took his place. Because he was the only one that could do it for you. You couldn't do it. He had to do it. So he didn't take your place. He took his place on the cross. Then he says, you know what? You pick up your cross and you follow me. You deny yourself. You believe enough into me. That's believe. What? Denying yourself. When I want to go over here and do this something over here, hey, Mike, let's go get a beer. Hey, bro, I appreciate you, man, but nah, I'm not going to do that because I don't need that right here. I'm good right here. I'm going to do this right here. I'm denying myself right here. Oh, let's go do this. Oh, no, man, you know what? No, when I see this over here, you know what? No, I'm denying myself. I'm praying over here. Guess what I'm on? I'm on a cross right there. I'm on a cross right there, and I'm dragging that cross, and I'm hanging on that cross. And I say, oh, Lord God, put another nail in that cross. I don't want to come off this thing because your love is what's keeping me pinned to this thing, and it's okay because I am a spectacle. The apostolic ministry, you can read over there what Paul says about it. I've been made a spectacle unto men. But yet I think so much of myself that I'm not willing to humble myself. I'm not willing to be a spectacle. I don't want to lose face. I don't want to lose grace. No. You already lost all that stuff if you're not willing to follow him. Follow Jesus. Where'd he go? Went to the cross. So you're going to have to go to the cross. Because he says over in John 10, he said, nobody takes my life. I lay it down. I deny it. But if I have that power, the power to deny myself, the power to lay it down, what other kind of power is inside of that? The power to raise it up. And where am I back now? I'm back in the beloved arms of the Father. I'm back into the kingdom. Guess what it still is, y'all? It's still perfect. The kingdom of God is still perfect. But it's your belief system that makes it not perfect. It's your belief system that keeps you from getting here. It's your belief system that keeps you back in those chains and those bondages where you started from, where you was birthed from, in the image of a bond. You was made in the image of Adam. But now Christ come. And this is all. Let's finish this up. Back to John. Let's jump back right quick and we'll be done. 12:03. We're doing good, Pastor. I think. What was I reading out of? John 1. Yep. Look at this 13th verse right here. I think it's a beautiful verse. I really do. Whew. Because those who received it, who believed on him, gave him the power or the right to become children of God. Gave you the opportunity. God's not sending you to hell. He's giving you the opportunity to believe, to follow the one, him, back to the kingdom. And he says he gave them, and he says who? Who were born, guess what? Not of blood, nor of the will of flesh or man, but of God. Born of God, born in the image of God through Christ. Christ says, hey, I do nothing that I don't see the Father do. I say everything I hear him say. This is my speech. This is my ways of life. Do we look here? Do I not drop the ball a lot of times? Yes, I do. I do. But there's another verse over in Romans 8:1. It says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because that condemnation is going to try to come and try to divert you back off over here. Well, let's go a fishing again. And you're dragging all these other people back over here. No, you know what I need to do? I need to go get on that cross again. I need to keep that thing dear to my heart, just like it was dear to Jesus as he was beaten and tore up, dragging that cross, falling down. He crawled back to that cross and said, look at this fool. Look at this fool crawling back to the thing that's going to kill him. How precious is that cross? It is the power of God unto those who believe. Is it for everyone? is this message for every single person in this world. Who's been given the opportunity to shine their light, to release and proclaim this message? Every single one of us who believe. Because if it's not real to you, it's not going to be real to them. And you might as well just stay right where you're at anyway, until you learn to believe and come unto Him and allow Him to start molding you and moving you and pouring over on top of you, washing you. What says, you're clean by the washing of my word, of my truth, of that spirit. And then it's just going to flow out. Everybody around you is going to see something different. Everybody around you is going to see that, hey, what's going on? And Peter says over there in 3:15, I think it is, he says, hey, be ready to give them an answer when they ask you. He said, do it with gentleness and meekness, but be willing to give them that answer when they ask you, what's going on with you? What's different about you? I'll tell you what's different. I'm no longer in darkness. I'm in the light. Amen. It's time to go. All right. We shook up a little bit. I hope so. Stirred up a little bit. I hope so. Encouraged a little bit. I totally hope so. How simple is this right here? Just a bit. Like I'm saying, I've seen it on a McDonald's napkin stretched out, and the people believed right then and there. If it's broke, let's fix it. If it's broke, let's fix it. That could be a little slogan. We'll put it on a Chick-fil-A cup or something. If it's broke, let's fix it. We'll put a Band-Aid on it. No, we're going to put a cross on it. X marks the spot. Well, let's cause it's crooked. Let's straighten it up. It's a cross. Yes, man. My kids, they'll see a cross somewhere, and they say, look, Daddy, your cross. Because they know I put a cross on my neck every morning. I take it off at night and lay down. And I put it on just the fact, just because I want to pick up my cross physically every day, put it on my neck, deny myself, and I say it every time I put it on it. But there's moments that during the day that I don't deny myself, and I go through with things that I shouldn't, but then I know that, hey, there's that cross, there's that power, there's that blood, there's that precious spirit of life. But they'll say, there's your cross. I said, well, that one's probably Jesus' cross, baby, but I got mine too, you know? And we all got it. We all have one. So let's go ahead and start doing what we're supposed to do. But the thing is, once you understand what that cross really is about, it's not about me doing all this other stuff. It's about one thing, me getting up in the lap of my daddy. Because there's another thing that thrills me when my girls look at me and they want to come to me in the bed or a chair and they want to crawl up in my lap. Oh, the heart of God. That's where it's at. You want me to close on that? Let's just pray it out. Y'all ready? Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for that love. We thank you so much for that life. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given each and every one of us today, yesterday, and every day from here on out to believe on you, to believe that you are enough. Help us, Lord, with that power as we believe, to give us that strength to take that step. Even though we can't see where the step is going, our eyes are fixed on you, and we have the assurity that those feet are going to be on solid rock, and it's going to take us exactly the way we go. Because wherever our eyes are fixed, our feet will go. Let us not veer to the left or to the right, but our eyes are fixed straight on you, Father. I speak these blessings. I speak this life. I speak this gospel, hallelujah, of truth over each and every individual right here, tearing down the false belief and teachings that they might have in their mind, that the Spirit of God will move on that mind and reform them so that when they go in you. When they live, they only can live in you. They're not just survivors, they are livers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a good one. In Jesus' name, amen. Be a liver. I think it filters the blood, right? Hallelujah. Y'all didn't know that one, did you? I just learned it. Amen. See y'all. Thank you so much. Love you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.